We're holding on Chof Gimel Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Now that we've dealt with in the previous Mishnayos Shein and Regel, now it's time to deal with some of the dinim of Keren when an animal gores or does something unusual. Now we know we've established, we've talked about before, you have an animal that's tam and an animal that has done it several times and becomes muad. So the Mishnah is not really going to get into under what. So the Mishnah is going to get into now. Two things. Number one, how does an animal become moored in the first place? And number two, how does it, is there a way, and how does it become from moored? How does it go back to being tam? Where the implication is there must be some way, and what is it? So the Mishnah says, Ezehu tam ve ezehu moored. What is the definition of tam and moored? Now again, when it says the definition of tam, we don't mean, in other words, how does an animal become tam in the first place? Of course, an animal begins as tam. The question is, having become moored, how does it go back to being tam, which the Mishnah is going to define for us? Ve'ezehu moored, and how in the first place does it become moored? How many times does it have to have done the thing, and under what circumstances to become moored? So, moored is kol she'i idu boi shloshe yomim. When they testified against the ox 3 days, meaning, in other words, that as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, what it means is three times on three different days, this animal gored, whether we're talking goring people or whether we're talking about goring other animals. So once it did it three times, then once it did it for 3 days, then it's moored. We're going to see some details about that in the Gemara. The tam, and then when does the animal become tam again? When it goes back from that 3 days, meaning that, so let's say until now it's been moored, that every time it sees another ox, it's going to go crazy and gore it. Now, three times in succession, it's seen oxen and hasn't gored them, then now we know it's back to normal. Whatever mood it was, whatever craziness overtook it, is now over and it's back to normal. Now, if after that it gores again one time in the future, then it's back to being a tam. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Reb Meir Omer, Reb Meir disagrees on both of those points. Moored she'idu bo shlosha pa'amim. Reb Meir is saying that for it to become moored, it doesn't have to be three different days. It can be three times on the same day that the animal gored. And that's enough, says Reb Meir, to make it. That's enough to make it, to make the animal moored. Which we'll see in the Gemara why Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda disagree on that. As far as the tam, what's the definition of tam? According to the mayor, how does it go back to being tam? When children play around with it, particularly mamash mishin, literally means they rub it, and the Rashba brings from a tesefta that it means that they rub it between the horns, which is a particularly sensitive area where you would expect it to react badly to that. The ein negeach, and it doesn't gore. Then we know that it's gone. Then we know it's gone back to normal. So Tosfos learns that it means that it doesn't gore the children themselves. Other Rishonim, Tosfos Ramin Peretz, says that actually what it means is no, if it doesn't gore the children. So Tosfos says, actually, the regular Tosfos printed here on the daf says, look, we learned earlier in the Masechta, Odom Islay Mazla, a person has a certain mazla, a person has a greater protection, Milamaila, and greater abilities down here, that it's less likely that he's going to be harmed by oxen. Still, though, so Tosfos over here says the fact is, if we see that it's so easy going now that it's not even going to bother when the children are mamash mishin bo, then it shows it's back to normal. On the other hand, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says that no, if it doesn't gore the children, there's really no proof, precisely because Adam Islay Mazla, rather he explains it means that even after that it doesn't go and gore other oxen, even though it's been provoked. Anyway, so the mayor and Rabbi Yehuda are disagreeing, in short, on how the animal becomes moored, whether it has to be on three different days, or whether all on one day. Then you have there's also the machlokas, how it goes back to being tam, whether it also requires three times that it saw whatever it was that provoked it before and didn't, or whether it's enough that the children are rubbing it and it doesn't. There you have, within that you have the Nimuka Yosef says that apparently Reb Meir would say that even one time the children doing that is enough that it goes back to being a tam. Then furthermore, as far as Tosfos also points out that Reb Meir would agree with Reb Yehuda that if it didn't do it for 3 days, it's also, even though it's been seeing other oxen during that time, it's also tam. He's just saying that there's another way it can become tam even on the same day by the children playing around with it. On the other hand, the Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam holds that no, the only way would be with the children playing with it. There's no other way. Now we have here Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. The Gemara is going to point out the halacha is sort of a hybrid between the opinions. It turns out, as far as chazora, as far as what makes the animal that considered to have gone back to normal, in that we follow Rabbi Meir, as we see in the Gemara. So the Rambam duly paskins like Rabbi Meir, but he explains Rabbi Meir's opinion to be that the only way you're going to know it went back to being tam is if you see children playing with it, if you see children rubbing it, and it doesn't go crazy. But not just that it saw other animals and didn't. That, according to the Rambam's understanding, would not be enough to make it to go back to be a tam. I mean, I suppose you have to ask, as a practical matter, once the ox has been known to be dangerous, what parents are going to let their kids play with such an ox anyhow? But, that's like we said yesterday, we're not really looking at the motivations of people. The fact is, if they do, for whatever reason, then that can make the animal go back to being tam. All right, so the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that you need Davka 3 separate days? Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, because like this, how does the Pasuk describe a Mu'ad? The expression in the Pasuk is that the animal is Mu'ad, that the animal has been goring mitmoil shilshoim. Tomorrow means yesterday. Shilshem means 2 days ago. It comes from the word shalosh because it means 3 days ago, including today. Meaning, in other words, that today is Sunday, for example. Tomorrow would be Shabbos. Shilshem would be the third day before today, namely Sunday, Shabbos, Friday. So Shilshem is 2 days ago. And then the pasuk says, "V'lo yishmeranu ba'olav," and the owner doesn't watch it. So Abaye says, "Tomorrow chad." The word "tomorrow" would imply that it did it one time yesterday. Mitmoil today, the word, but it doesn't just say tomorrow, it says mitmoil with a mem. So that adds a second day before tomorrow. Shilshoim tlosa, the word shilshoim would not mean, like we just said, only 2 days ago. It would mean 3 days back in this case. Therefore, so you have three times, 3 days. V'lo yishmeranu ba'olav, and we're saying the owner doesn't watch it. Asan, the negicha rabias, therefore that comes. Therefore, that brings us to the fourth negicha. When it does that, so now, having done three, it becomes mu'ad. And now, any ones that it does afterwards, it's going to be a mu'ad, and it's going to pay nezek shalom and so forth. Rava Amar, Rava learns the pasuk differently. T'moil mitmoil chad. Doesn't matter whether it said t'moil or whether it's or the fact is that it says mitmoil. Either way, it means only one day. Shilshaim today. The word shilshaim means 2 days ago, as it usually does. So So now, if he doesn't watch it, then the pasuk is saying that now, the third time already, he's going to be chayev. So Rashi, in other words, understands that Abaye and Rava are actually arguing on the halacha. Abaye would say that only after three times does it become mu'ad, and then the fourth time you're going to be paying nezek shalom min ha'aliyah. From your own possessions, rather than just out of the value of the animal as you would do with a tam. Then Rashi is saying Rava would disagree and say that already the third time you chayev nezek shalim. Tosfos disagrees with that. And says that no, really, Tosfos has a long discussion about the ins and outs of that and various other parts of the sugya. But Tosfos says that actually no, what it means, Abaye and Rava are not really arguing on the actual halacha. In fact, Tosfos says Rashi himself changed his mind eventually. Apparently, he didn't update his pirush to include that. But anyway. What it is Tosfos says Mashmos Doshin Ikebenayu. It's just they're arguing how to understand the psukim, but not that they argue as a matter of halacha. They would both agree as a matter of halacha that only after three times does it become mu'ad. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss other possibilities. Brings from Rabbeinu Azriel. What about, for example? So let's say it gored Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and then again it gored again on Tuesday. Would we say that it's chayev Nezek Shalim for that one? So according to Rava, yes. According to Abaya, maybe not, because you still have to have the next day. If everything over here is separate days, then it would mean that only beginning on the fourth day, only beginning on Wednesday, would be chayav nezek shalom if the animal gores. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss various other aspects of this. We're going to talk about in the Gemara further on, as far as what exactly becomes more, that the shirt itself is more, or that the owner himself has been repeatedly warned. So Tosfos discusses some ins and outs of that. We'll get to that later. Anyway, so that's why Rabbi Yehuda says you need separate days, because however you learn it from the pasuk, from the words mitmil shoshan. Vira meir my time. Oh, okay, well then why does your meir hold differently? So Tanya, we learn in a brisa. Omer Rav Meir, richik negichos of chayev. Rav Meir says, after all, if you're telling me that if the animal did its gorings far apart, each one on different days, chayev, and you're saying that he's chayev because of the pasuk tmel shoshem, hirav negichos of like kol shekin, how much more so if it did them close by together, then how much more so that it should be considered that the animal is definitely a mazik. So in other words, he's not learning it from the pasuk. He's learning it from a kavachon. Omrule, but the chachamim answered to Rav Meir, no, you can disprove that because zava techiach. You can disprove that by considering the case of a zava. Now a zava, we know, is a woman who has bleeding from her uterus not during the usual time that she'd expect to be a nida. You have in Masechta Nida, the Gemara talks about achad asa yom shebein nida v'nida. You have a period of 11 days in every cycle of hers when she's not expected to bleed, and if she does during that time, she becomes a zava. We have if she has bleeding on one or two successive days, then she becomes only what's called a zavak tana, also called shemeres yom kneged yom. Nowadays, we don't do anything like this. Nowadays, anytime a woman has bleeding from her uterus, or even where it's suspected to be, then she's tomei for full 7 days, and then the whole thing. But those are details that were added later on. The original din of the Torah is that if she only has bleeding for one or two days during those 11 days, then she just needs to have one clean day, and then she tovels, and that's it. She's tahor. Oh, but if there were three or more, then she becomes a zava gdola. Then she needs 7 clean days, and then after she tovels, she brings a korban. Now the din with a zava is that you don't have. If she were to have three experiences of bleeding all on the same day, then it wouldn't make her a zava gdola. It would just make her a zava tana. So the Chachamim answer to Rav Meir, Zava Techiach, prove the contrary from a Zava. If she has her Re'ias far apart, each on separate days, then she's Tomei, Kirva Re'iaseah Tehoira. And if she has her Re'ias close together, all on the same day, then she's Tahor. So you see, therefore, that your Kavachomer may be a very nice one, but the fact is we see that the Torah is telling us that you can't learn such a Kavachomer, that you can't learn things that are near from things that are far apart. Omalahen, so the mayor answers back to them. Sure, but that's different. Sure, but the reason why by a zava it doesn't happen if she has the three experiences of bleeding on one day is just because of a gzeres hakasu. The pasuk says by a zav earlier in the same parak, it says this will be his tumah with his zivus, where a man becomes a zav by having a certain kind of emission come out of his body, out of his male organ. And he becomes tameh with it. And the pasuk says, "V'zois tia tumase b'zoivay." This shall be his tumah with his zivus, which means, in other words, that with him. And the pasuk goes on to mention several times the word zov in the same, the word zov or the word zoiv in the same pasuk, from which we learn the concept that with a zov you have a difference whether he had 2 days or two times or three times ziva. And it means since it says v'zois, which is a mute, it means tola akosav as a zov b'reis v'as a zov b'yom. Means the pasuk is saying that a zav being tame as a zav gomer, the kind who needs 7 clean days and a korban, is going to depend on the number of times that he had the emission, not the number of days, but just the number of times. So even if it was all on one day, in fact, in Mishnayos Zavim, it talks about you could even have where there was one very long emission, which is considered long enough to be broken up into two. Anyway, by a zav, it depends on that. That's a zav, but it is. Whereas a zava, because it says v'zois, which is a miut, therefore it means by a zava, it depends on days. So therefore, in other words, it's exeris hakosiv, Ramei is saying, so therefore, so in that case, so that's why you don't douse in the kal v'chomer. But other than that, you should. Tosfos explains, so on the contrary, you should say in that case, then maybe we should learn from that to other places. But no, what it is, in other words, the Chachamim actually have an answer. So the mayor is saying because there's a specific limud over there from the word vizos. Let's get through it and then we'll talk about what Tosfos has to say on it. So the mayor is saying in short that that's a special case because the Torah is saying this word vizos. But the Gemara says, "Mimai dehai v'zois mo'uti zava meri'is." Actually, who says that the word v'zois comes to exclude that by a zava, it doesn't depend on the number of re'is, it depends on the number of days. Maybe the other way around, emol mo'uti zav miyomim. Maybe it means just the opposite, that a zav doesn't become tameh when it's subsequent days. Maybe it means that taka for a zav, it'll only be if he has the two or three emissions all on one day. And the answer is no, because amakura, because the pasuk says at the end of that parak, the pasuk summarizes and says these are the rules of such and such and such, and includes somebody who has an emission, whether a male or a female. Makish zocha v'nakeva. By doing that, the Torah is making a hekish between a zov and a zov, meaning that there's a certain degree of similarity between them. Man nakeva biyamim, afzocha biyamim. Just like a nakeva, just like a woman is going to become tameh by number of days, meaning, in other words, again, if she has emissions on subsequent days, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, let's say, the same way by a man, also he can become tame in the same way if it was subsequent days. So the Gemara says, the lakach and the kevel azocher. Well, in that case, why don't we learn that the hekesh should be the other way around? Mazocher b'reis after kevel b'reis. Just like a man, it's enough to have many reis on the same day, and he becomes tamei. The same way should be with a woman. So why don't you learn the hekesh that way? The answer is hamiyat rachmana v'zois. The fact is, because the pasuk says v'zois, telling us that there was an exception. Well, the Gemara says umara isa. So then, what makes you say so? So what do we have then? We have, on the one hand, we have a hekesh, meaning that there should be a comparison between zocher and nekeva, that what applies to one should apply to the other. On the other hand, we have the word vizois by the man, meaning that there's something that applies to him and not to the woman. So umara isa, what makes you say that the hekesh includes that both of them become tamei with days, and only the zov becomes tamei also with re'ias all on the same day? Why don't we say the other way around? Why don't we say that both of them can become tamei with multiple re'is on the same day, and only a zav can become tamei by having it on subsequent days? Consecutive days, one after the other, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, let's say. And the answer is, the Gemara says, Mistabra, it's logical, koi b're'is memayit re'is. When the posik, in the context of the posik, where it's talking about re'is, where again, the posik v'zois tia tomosi v'zoivoi, mentions several times the word tomei, and we learn from that, the whole posik goes, v'zois tia tomosi v'zoivoi, ror b'sore es zoivoi, ahechtem b'sore mizoivoi, tomosehi, where it says the word zoiv multiple times in the posik, and we learn from that the concept of re'is, the concept that separate re'is are going to make him tomei. So when it's talking in that context, mimayit re'is, it's logical to say that it's excluding only he becomes tomei in that way, but not someone else, namely a zava. Koi b're'ia, 8 o'clock. But you're going to tell me that when you're standing and talking about re'is, then the posuk is going to be excluding that the zov does not become tomei with days. It's not logical. So therefore, it's more logical to say that the miut and the posuk is still referring to the re'is, which is the context of the posuk, and it's saying only the zov becomes tomei with multiple re'is on the same day. A zova does not. So Tosfos has a few things to say about this. First of all, the posuk is saying, in other words, that there's no svara to say that being close together and further away makes any difference. It's just a matter of xeris hakosu. Either way, you would say by rights there should be. Either way, you're muchzik, whether it's all on one day or whether it's on consecutive days. But it's xeris hakosu to tell us that otherwise not.
Meaning, and then Tosfos uses the expression, even let's say, what do we mean 3 days she becomes a Zala Gdola? Even if a Yoan Novi were to come and tell us at this point, for sure she's never going to have a flow of blood again, nevertheless, 3 days is 3 days. In other words, we would say the fact that 3 days, that it's happened on 3 days, makes her a Muchzik, makes her a Chazaka, that she's a Zala, and anything else that we might know about it is not going to change that. So that doesn't, so, but there, the Pasuk is making it clear that only there, that only there do we say that there's a that there's two potential types of chazaka that could do that, all on one day or on consecutive days, and the Torah is telling us only one of them applies to a zava. But other than that, the mayor is arguing that chazaka is chazaka, whether it's all on one day or whether it's on different days.
In this case, a zachar is more stricter than.
So in a way, a zachar is more stricter. Yeah, in a way, a zachar is stricter because he can have three flows all on one day or on consecutive days, and either way, he's going to be tamei. Yeah. Whereas a woman, a zava would only be if it's all on separate days. Yeah. Then Tosfos also discusses the point. Why don't we say that just the opposite? You could say the pasuk v'zoistia tumas v'zoiver is talking about a zav. So therefore, maybe it's excluding something for a zav. Why should we assume it's excluding something for a zava? And Tosfos brings based on a different gemara that we could darshan in that way. That's the correct way to darshan is to say that we look at the context, not at who it's talking about. Okay, the point is, in other words, Reb Meir is saying that Reb Meir wants to use his Kal v'Chomer, but the Chachamim are countering that you see by a Zav and a Zava, it doesn't work. Reb Meir is saying that's different because that's a special Gzeiras HaKosim. But other than that, logic would tell us that Chazaka is Chazaka, whether it's all on one day or on different days. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. Ezehu Mu'ad, what is the definition of an animal that is Mu'ad? So like we said in the Mishnah, Kol She'idu Bo Shloshi Yomim, where they testified against it, that it gored on 3 days. The Tam, and how does it go back to being a Tam? She'u Atinokas Mamash Mishin Bova En Negeach, when children are playing or are rubbing it and it doesn't gore, Divrei Rabbi Yosi. That's what Rabbi Yosi says. So Rabbi Yosi, in other words, is taking the number of times, that the number of days on which it has to happen, he follows Rabbi Yehuda. Not Rabbi Meir, who says it can all be on one day, but rather Rabbi Yosi goes according to Rabbi Yehuda there, who says that you need three separate days.
Of Goring, right.
As far as the Chazara, as far as when do we say that it retracted, that it took back, and it's not going to be wild like that anymore, in that he follows Rabbi Meir that says that it's enough that the children are playing with it. So that's Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says the other way around. Mu'ad kol she'idu bo shalosh pamim. A mu'ad would be if they testified against it 3 days, meaning even if it was all on the same day, like Reb Meir. V'loy omer shloshi yomim el l'chazara b'lad. Where the Chachamim say that there's a concept of 3 days, that would only be as far as chazara, meaning that it has to be that it saw other animals that it usually gores for 3 days and doesn't, which would be like Reb Meir. So Reb Shimon holds the exact opposite of Rabbi Yehuda. He holds as far as becoming Mu'ad, like Reb Meir, and as far as becoming Tam, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda.
And so, as we're saying over here, that Mu'ad can become a Tam again if you don't go...
For sure, Mu'ad can become a Tam. Everybody agrees to that. The question is how. In the Mishnah, we had two opinions. We had Rabbi Yehuda saying that we need to have that it sees the animals that it's gored in the past, three times, and it doesn't gore them again.
Three times on 3 days.
That's what that's three right. 3 days. Shloshi yomim, you said in the Mishnah. Yeah. Reb Meir had said that it's enough if children are playing with it, if children are rubbing it, and it doesn't gore. We talked about before the Machlokas Rishonim. Does that mean Reb Meir would agree that also 3 days are enough, or would he say no? 3 days is not enough. You need Davka Tinokas Mamash Mishin, right? Whatever, the point is, in other words, that, so now we're saying Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon both hold a hybrid of Rabbi Meir's and Rabbi Yosi's opinion, and Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yosi holds like Rabbi Yehuda as far as becoming a Mu'ad, and like Rabbi Meir as far as going back to being a Tam, and Rabbi Shimon says exactly the other way around. He holds like Rabbi Meir as far as becoming a Mu'ad, and like Rabbi Yehuda as far as going back to becoming a Tam. So the Gemara says, "Omer Rab Nachman, Omer Rab Adama Abba, Halacha could be heard of a Mu'ad." That when it comes to the animal becoming Mu'ad, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Sharei Rabbi Yosi Modulai, because after all, Rabbi Yosi agrees with him, and therefore that gives us two Tanoim on that side. And Rahalocha could a mayor of Tam, Shari Rabbi Yosi Modulai. And Rab Nachman says, the halacha is like a mayor as far as Tam, because Rabbi Yosi agrees with him there also. So in other words, it basically so basically, in other words, he's saying that he holds like Rabbi Yossi. Tosfos points out he wants to refer to the Tanoim of the Mishnah. He didn't just want to refer to the Braisa. Therefore, he doesn't just say flat out the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. He says rather the halacha is like Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in the respective things. Omele Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rava, who was Rav Nachman's Talmud, asks him why that way. You also have Reb Shimon, who agrees with Reb Yehuda in one thing and Reb Meir with another. Why are you picking sides over here and saying the halacha is like Reb Yossi in both of those? Because you have Reb Yossi together with the other Tana. By the same token, you could say you have Reb Shimon together with the other Tana and say the halacha should be like him. Omele. So Rav Nachman answers him, what it is I hold like Rav Yossi. I hold the halacha should be throughout like Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi nimukoi imoi. Rav Yossi always has it. We learned about this in Gittin. He always has a good reason with him, meaning whenever he says a halacha, he's always able to give a good, solid, logical reason why it should be so. Nimukoi means like an explanation, right? Like a deep explanation, yeah. So in other words, and in fact, we often have the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, even against other Tanoim, precisely for that reason, because Rabbi Yossi nimukoi imoi. So Rav Nachman is saying, this is an example of that, therefore, so the halacha is, so yes, it's true, Rabbi Shimon holds the other way around, but Rabbi Yossi outweighs Rabbi Shimon in that regard, because nimukoi imoi, and therefore I'm passing it like Rabbi Yossi. And again, Tosfos says, he could have just said flat out, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, but he wanted to refer to the opinions in the Mishnah. Because after all, everybody's more familiar with the Mishnayos than they are with the Braisos. Okay. In boils.
So our Mishnah fits it.
So we take it within our Mishnah, we have Rav Meir's opinion, Rav Yehuda's opinion as far as Taman Mord, and Rav Meir's opinion as far as Taman Mord. We're saying the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, as far as becoming Mord, it has to be separate days, can't be all on one day, like Rav Meir. On the other hand, when it comes to going back to being normal, then we say Shiyu Atanukas Mimash Mishin Boy, that children are playing with it. Again, according to Tosfos, you would say that it's also if 3 days pass, Rav Meir would agree to that. According to the Rambam, then no, only if you actually have children playing with it, then it doesn't go again. Okay. Now the Chachamim had a question. Shloisha Yomim de Katani. We're saying the 3 days, according to Yehuda and according to Rav Yossi, which we're saying is the halacha. What are the 3 days for? Liyodi Torah or Liyodi Gavra? Is it that in order to make the ox itself a muad, meaning, in other words, that again, if it gored all on one day, then we're saying on 2 days, then that's not enough. We can say that maybe that particular day it was crazy or something. That's not enough to make it a muad for the future. Only Udi Gavra, or is it in order to warn the owner that he should realize that he has a dangerous ox? Now, Tosfos points out, by the way, the Yehudi Gavra, you could conceivably understand that to mean that the purpose of it would be that if he doesn't listen after those 3 times, then he is a mord to not listen to warnings of Beis Din. Tosfos says that's not what it means, because then you couldn't be mechayiv him until the 5th time. Because you think about it, the first time, you would have to have, in other words, after it gored the first time, so there was no warning of Beis Din for him to be ignoring yet. So you would have to have the warnings 3 times, would have to be after the 1st, 2nd, 3rd. Then there would be a 4th where it gores and he still refuses to listen, and only the 5th time would be mechayev him. We're not saying that. Therefore, we don't mean Liyor de Gavra to show that he has a chazaka of not listening to Beis Din, but rather to warn him that you have a dangerous ox, make sure you keep an eye on it. So the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina." What would be the practical difference between these 2 ways of looking at it? So the difference would be to also tlosa kite sadi b'chad yoyma. Suppose that all 3 sets of edim showed up on one day, testifying that it had gored 3 different days. So the ox gored Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So then, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's enough. According to everybody, that's enough to make it moored. But you also need, in order for it to be moored, you have to have warning. The word moored comes from the word aid, which means warning. So he's warned by edim, as we're going to learn at the bottom of the amud. It has to be in front. It has to be in front of him and in front of Beis Din. In front of Beis Din, yeah, because there's no such thing as edus without Beis Din.
In other words, they
bring him to Beis Din. They come to Beis Din and they say, you know, we want to testify that Reuven sure has been causing damage. So Beis Din will summon Reuven, and then Edim will testify in his presence, yeah, that your sure has done such and such. Anyway, the point is that the point is, so now let's say the animal gored on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and now on Wednesday the Edim show up to testify to all 3 of them. So iamatli your ode Torah, if you say the purpose of the warning, the three times, the 3 days, is to say that the shur is dangerous, miyad, well then that works, because the fact is the shur did it on three different days. Therefore, now we see the shur is mu'ad, it has a propensity to be dangerous, and therefore we can say from now on Yechayiv Nezek Shalom for what it does.
The first one wasn't one, it was only one after this.
The point is that it did it three times, and therefore now therefore it has a chazakah. Yeah. But if you say it's meant to warn the person, then the fact that it all took place on one day, the warnings all took place on one day, is not considered mu'ad yet. Meimar Omar, because the person can think to himself, the fact is, only now are they warning me, and the Torah is saying that the Torah is saying that I have to be warned three times, implying on three separate occasions. So he would say, fine, if after the goring on Sunday, they had come and warned me, and after the goring on Monday, they had come and warned me, and after the goring on Tuesday, they had warned me, then sure, I'm responsible. But like this, we're only on Tuesday or only on Wednesday, or they're coming and telling me about all three of them, I'd still have to have two more warnings before the Torah is going to hold me fully responsible. So therefore, so what is it? So what do we say about that? So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring a proof. A Braisa says, a shur does not become moored unless testimony is given against it in front of the owner and in front of Beistin. It has to be in front of the owner because the Pasuk is saying that the owner is warned. It has to be in front of Beistin because there's no such thing. Tosfos says it's a svara. Where else is Eidus going to be accepted except in front of Beistin? In other words, the fact that it has to be the owner himself, sure, because the Pasuk says, but who would be all of? It's the owner is warned, implying that the owner has to be there. The fact that it's in front of Beistin is a svara because that's where Eidus takes place. So therefore, the Braisa continues, if they testified in Beistin, but the owner wasn't there, or they told the owner, but it wasn't in front of Beistin, then it's not more unless they have both criteria.
Why isn't enough just telling the balabas?
Telling the balabas is all very nice, but he can say that's not official Eidos. So, okay, I was told about it, but it's not official Eidos. How do I know these people are telling the truth? How do I know that they're not psula Eidos or whatever? So fine. I heard what they're saying. Doesn't mean that I have to take it so seriously and to say that therefore if I don't watch my ox from now on, you're going to be mechayev me nezek shalem. That's not a valid basis. That's not a valid basis for making me have to pay.
Main thing is that you got it from Bezin after the third time.
So we're saying that that's the thing. The Braisa is talking about that they warned. The Braisa has not yet addressed the question that we're asking about if they gave him all the three warnings on the one day. We're going to get to that in a minute. Right now, we're first establishing some basic baseline information. 8 o'clock. The Nemuka Yosef adds, by the way, brings from the Ra'ah, why does the Braisa have to add that last part, Ad Shi Idubre B'fnei Abaylam B'fnei Beistin, when we just said that? So, and he explains that the point is, when it comes to other Eidos, sometimes you can accept the Eidos even when the Baal Din isn't there. For example, you can have a case where a person is old or sick and can't come to Beistin. You can have a case where Beistin summoned him and he didn't come. So then the Edom can go give Eidos even though he's not there. But here, since the Pasuk is saying, Bahuad Riv Olav, then therefore the Braisa is stressing, no matter what, you can never accept the Eidos unless the owner is there. And if you do, then it's not considered a Ha'odah. It doesn't count towards the three times. Anyway, continues the Braisa. What happens if three sets of Edom come and testify him about the first one, another two about the second one, another two about the third one? Hare kan sholosh edius. So it's considered three separate groups of edim insofar as the dinim of psulim that you have. For example, if one group is posel, it doesn't prevent the whole edus, it doesn't cause the whole edus to fall apart. If you have, let's say, now we know where when you have two edim coming to Beistin, if one of them ends up being a quarter of a posel, then there's no edus at all. If you were to have, for example, five or six or however many people come together all as one group of edim to say something in Beistin, same thing. If one of them is a quarter of a posel, then the whole thing is a gone. We learned that about that in Gittin, for example, that if you have among the edim that are signed and a get, and some of them are posel, then the whole thing is posel.
You don't go according to
Roiv or anything, right? But So, but here what we mean is, in other words, even if one group turns out to be puzzle or whatever, it doesn't cancel out the other two. So he's still going to be paying chatzi nezek for the other ones. Tosfos also adds another point as well. You could have, for example, these three sets of Edim. Each one could contain one of three brothers, and each one has somebody else with them. Or not even each one. You could have, for example, Tosfos learns, you could have, let's say you have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. The first goring, Reuven, comes together with an unrelated man, Moshe. The second goring, Shimon, the next brother, comes with the same Moshe. The third one, Levi, comes with the same man, Moshe. And we're still going to say that, or we're not going to say that's possible because you have relatives together, because each one is a separate Eidus. Anyway, so Vehin Eidus Achas LaHazama, but they are considered one group as far as Hazama, as far as if we're mazim, some of these groups of Eidim, meaning, in other words, what happens? Nimtzes kat rishona zaymemes. If it turns out the first group are Edim zaymemin, so therefore, so in other words, so the first goring that they're testifying about, it turns out didn't happen, or we don't really care as far as Edim zaymemin whether it happened, but we don't have Edus for it at any rate. So then Hare kan shtei Edus. So you have two groups of Edim that are still valid. Each one is going to have to make him pay chatzi nezek. Vehu potter. So vehu potter vehein pturim. He's potter from paying nezek shalim for the last one. They, the ones from the first goring, are also potter from making him pay chatzi nezek because you have to have, everyone has to be Muslim. You can't have, when you have Edim Zomim, you can't have that only some of them are Muslim. What's Edim Zomim? And we know that's other people come and say, Imanu HaYisim, you were with us in a different place at a different time. Now, we know that the Gemara tells us in Matthias, if they come and say that about only one of the Edim, if they were to come and Reuven and Shimon are testifying in Beis Din, and they come and say, Reuven, you were with us in Machon Pliny at the time, but Shimon was not, then that's not considered Edim Zomim. True, the Edus falls apart. We can't now convict the person based on what Reuven and Shimon are saying, but because Reuven has been shown to be a liar, but we don't punish them as Edim Zomim unless both Reuven and Shimon have been impeached as Edim Zomim.
Does anyone count as one Edim can swear?
What? Maybe sometimes the one aid can make him swear. I don't know, but whatever. Anyway, the point is that the point is here we consider all these groups of Edim as though they were one group as far as Hazama, in the sense we're saying. So if the first group ends up being Edim Zimmerman, they would have the combination of theirs plus the other two Edim would have made him pay Nezek Shalom from now on, because there's three sets of Edim, but now that one of them has been shown to be Zomimin, that's enough to make it that now he's not paying Nezek Shalom, but that first set is not going to be Chayiv anything. We can't be Mechayiv them Chatzi Nezek, because we're saying by combination with the other ones, they would have made him pay Nezek Shalom, and now we don't have that, because we only have two sets of Edim. Similarly,
why not Chatzi Nezek?
Because he's still chayev chatzi nezek for the other ones. Now we're saying there's only been two goring so far, so he's chayev chatzi nezek for each of those. Nimtzes kat shnia zememes. If we find out that not only the first group but also the second group are zomim, same thing. Hare kan edus achas. We still have one set of edim who are mechayev chatzi nezek for the third time, but now it's not really the third time as far as we're concerned. It's the first time because the other two are out of the picture. Vehu potter vehein pturim. So he's potter from nezek shalom, and they are also potter from paying anything for the same reason. Nimtzes kat shlishis zememes. What happens if also the third group is found to be Zomim? So now all three have been found to be Zomim. Kulan Chayovin. Now all three groups have to pay between them. They all have to pay the Chatzi Nezek, the extra Chatzi Nezek that they were making him pay the third time. This is what the Pasuk means when it says you should do to him like he plotted to do to his fellow Yid. Meaning, in other words, in this case, so they're going to be paying So what we're saying is, Rashi says, the last two Edim are going to be paying the Chatzi Nezek of the... Consider what they were claiming is the third time. We have to break it down into there's a Tamus and there's a Mu'adus part of it, right? As a Tam, it would have been paying Chatzi Nezek. As a Mu'ad, it's supposed to be Nezek Shalom. So now what we have is, we're saying the fact that it would have had to pay Chatzi Nezek for being a Tam, that the last group has to pay, because they're the ones who are testifying that it was that it gored. As far as the other,
there only considered one set.
So it's only considered one set as far as that. As far as paying the other chatzi nezik for the fact that it would have been a mu'ad, that we split up among all three groups. They all have to contribute towards that other chatzi nezik. Incidentally, Tosfos points out the same din. You don't really need three sets of Edim for this. You need only one set, and they come and testify to the three gorings. The reason why the Braisa is mentioning three sets is because in order to highlight this point about Edim Zomimin and the difference between one group and all of them. Otherwise, if it was all one group of Edim, then you couldn't really talk about all of that. So the Marshal brings, by the way, what happens, what would happen if only the third group turned out to be Edom Zomimin? So then what it is then we would say that he says, unlike the first two groups, so we're saying we're Potter, because they're contributing towards it becoming a Mu'ad, the third group is actually saying, look, this ox already gored three times. We're testifying it did the third time, therefore it should be Chayv, an extra Chatzi Nezik, to make up Nezik Shalim. Now, when it turns out that they're Edom Zomimin, then we can make them pay, says the Yam Shal Shlomo, for that full Chatzi Nezik that they're claiming. Yeah. Okay. So
each one ended up paying chatzin ezek.
So
the
first two we didn't find their zone. The case we're talking about that the Yam Shlomo is talking about is where only the third one was found to be zomim. So the owner is paying chatzin ezek for each of the first two times that the other ones testified. The third, the Edom Zomimin, are paying for the chatzin ezek that they were claiming that now the animal became mord. On the other hand, Rabbi Nachmanel's lashon over here is mashma that maybe he holds differently and would say that even then we're pondering them. Okay. Anyway, the point is, what's the point of bringing in this braisa? So we had asked the question, what do we mean that we need three, that you need three consecutive days of Eidos, that you need three separate days of Eidos to say that he's mu'ad? E amat the Udi Torah, if you say that the purpose of the Eidos is to say that the ox is dangerous, and therefore it doesn't matter even if all the Edom come all on the one day, then that's fine. Shaper, then we understand why we would be talking about why the earlier groups have to pay anything because we can say, in other words, Rashi explains they taka all came on one day, and we would say, in other words, raglayim ladover, we have a strong reason to believe that all of them are coming in order to say that the animal is mu'ad, because they're all coming on the one day. Now, conceivably, why can't they say that? What do you mean? We're only coming to testify about the first goring. We didn't know about the other two b'chlal. Why should we mechayev us to pay anything towards the nezek shalim if we're edim zaymin? The answer is, we tell them that no, you're all coming on the same day. It's very likely that you knew that because after all, Rashi explains why. Because who would be bringing them to Beis Din? But Pashtus, the owner of the third shur that it gored. What happens? You have Reuven's animal has gored three times, and now the owner of the third animal is saying, you know what? I want Nezek Shalom. I don't want just one Chatzi Nezek. Therefore, let me bring all the Edim who've seen this animal gore so far, and I'm going to have them testify in front of Beis Din. So therefore, they have good reason to understand that all of them are coming not just to testify about the other two and make them pay the owners of those animals, but more to the point, to make him mu'ad and make him have to pay Nezek Shalim to the latest, to the owner of the latest animal. So therefore, they can't get away with saying, we didn't know that. If you say that they can all be giving the Eidos on the same day, and the purpose of it is to say that the animal is dangerous, shaper, well then good. Eli amatli udi gabra. But we said before, if you look at it from the point of view, the owner himself has to receive a certain number of official warnings. So that would mean that it has to be on three separate days, like we said before. Well, if the warnings have to be on three separate days, why can't the earlier Edom say, how are we supposed to know that in different days other people are going to go and say that the animal is mu'ad? We only came to make him chayev for the chatzi nezek of being a tam. We never intended for it to be a mu'ad in the first place. But the fact is, the Mishnah is saying that if all three groups end up being Edom Zomimin, then all three of them are sharing in the mu'ad part of the payment. Why? According to that logic, they could say, we had no idea that our Eidos has anything to do with it becoming mu'ad. In fact, Tosfos says, for that matter, the later ones could also say, we didn't know that other Edom came before us. But it's more obvious to ask in the way that the Gemara is, where they can't see the future. Other Mephoshim point out, the fact is, when Edom come to Beis Din, there's a coil, so therefore, so maybe the later ones can't get away so easily with claiming that we didn't know the earlier ones came. But for the earlier ones to say, we didn't know later ones are coming, sure, they can't see the future. So Omer Rav Ashi, Amrita L'Shmaita Kameda Rav Kahana. So Rav Ashi says, I was saying over this discussion in front of Rav Kahana and pointing out this problem to him. But Omer Li, and he answers me. Rav Kahana was one of Rav Ashi's Rebbe. One of Rashi's Rabbein, he answers him, So what are you saying? It sounds like the Braisa would work very easily according to the way of looking, and you're only asking according to the way Li'udi Gavra. It sounds like you're saying Li'udi Torah, meaning if it's just a matter of establishing that the animal is dangerous, then it's fine if all the Edom are on one day. But even, so how could you say it? It's not, the Braisa is not so easily understood according to that opinion either. Because v'leimu hanach basroi, why can't the later group of Edom say, look, anan minaya dinan call the koi be dinan lasuri betora pasu? How are we supposed to know that everybody, that all Edom who came to Beis Din, are coming to say about this particular ox? Anan machayuvin is gavra palvin is gasidan. Again, we're also only coming to be machayivim chatzinezek. The same way Rav Kahana is saying, the same way as you, as the Gemara is asking. That we could have, that the earlier Edom could say, we had no idea that later Edom are coming. As far as we're concerned, we're just coming to testify about Chatzin Nezik. We have nothing to do with it becoming a Mord. The same way, the later Edom should come and say, okay, so we saw other people there in Beis Din, in the Beis Din Shtibble. So what? Did we know necessarily that they're all coming to give Edus on the same ox? Our Edus is that this ox gored. Your Beis Din is supposed to put things together and figure out that, okay, we have set three times that Edom have come and said it did it, therefore now the ox is moored. The third group should also be able to get away with saying that we're not coming to make the animal a moored, we're just coming to testify that it gored and it's Beis Din's responsibility to put things together. So why don't we say that? So either way, so in other words, Rav Kahana is saying either way you understand the Braisa, it's going to be a little difficult to understand. So the answer is, so Rashi explains the Gemara is going to give an answer that will work according to the opinion the Yehudi Torah. You're right. If you say the Yehudi Gavra, if you say the purpose is to warn the owner, then Taka, you may not have a good answer. But at least the Gemara is going to infer how you can explain the Braisa according to the opinion the Yehudi Torah, namely. We could have a case where the various sets of Edom are signaling to one another. So we are talking about it all on one day. But for example, the first group, after they're finished testifying, they signal to the second group, come on over and you speak up. So then it's clear they knew of each other. So therefore, we can be mechayev the earlier ones because combining together with the later ones, because obviously they knew. Because obviously they knew that they're all coming for the same purpose. And for that matter, Rashi says, the later group also knows, therefore, that the earlier group is there. So it would explain that as well. Tosfos actually says that actually the answer could even work, the Yehudi Gavra, because fine, we're talking about it has to be on separate days, but we could be talking about that each time the groups come together and each time one group is signaling to another, it's your turn to step up and speak. So meaning, in other words, like this, even if the Yehudi Gavra, and we're saying they need to be on separate days, so fine, all three groups are based in, come on Sunday, and the other group signal to the first group, it's your turn, stand up and speak. The next day, all three groups come again, and they signal to the second group, and so forth. So therefore, it could be made to work according to that opinion as well. Either way, the point is, now they can't say, we didn't know, because obviously they knew. That's one answer. Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Rav Ashi himself, who brought up the question to Rav Kahana, he gives a different answer. Kishabo Ritzufin. We can also be talking about when the Edom came together. So again, even if they're not Miramzi Ramuzi, even if they're not actually signaling to one another, they obviously knew of each other. So therefore they can't use the excuse that we didn't know. Therefore, again, when all three groups are found to be Edom Zemin, we can have them all participate in paying the extra part that goes toward Nezek Shalom. Ravina says there's a third possibility. You could have a case where the Edim know who the owner of the shor is, but they don't recognize the individual shor itself.
I'll give you a witness.
1 second, we're going to talk about that. So in other words, Rashi explains, so they obviously can't be coming to, so that we can't say that, they're not coming to testify because of the shor itself, because they don't recognize it. What they're doing is they're saying they want to declare that the animal is a mu'ad. So they did know about the Eidos of the earlier ones. They didn't come and testify before because they didn't recognize the shor. But now the problem is, again, you still have, it wouldn't work as far as the Ode Gavra, Rashi explains, it still wouldn't work as far as warning the owner, because again, each group could say, we didn't know that another group is going to come later on, and we're only coming for Chatzin Ezer. Now, yes, Tosfos points out the question that, first of all, Tosfos says that, now it is true, but with a tam, you pay only me gufa, you pay only from the body of the animal. So therefore, it's important to know which animal it is. But Tosfos says, the fact is, we're going to learn later on in the next perek, you can have a case where two people are arguing. Reuven's ox injured Shimon's. We don't know which ox of Reuven's, but we know that one of them did. So they're arguing which one caused the damage. What we can say is Reuven definitely has to pay out of the smallest and least expensive of his oxen, because no matter what, he's chayv at least that amount. So why don't we say the same thing over here? And so Tosfos' answer is fine, but you could have, let's say, that after the goring took place, one of the animals was lost. And therefore now we can say maybe the one that was lost is the one that did the goring, and therefore we don't have a basis to be machayv him. Tosfos also points out that, so how do you know it's the same animal every time? And the answer is, after they all testified, then they took a look. Hey, you know what? We do realize, after all, this was the same ox. We didn't chapsa before, but now we realize. So they didn't know at the time, but now, after the ox is brought in front of them, then they all recognize it. Anyway, the point is, so Ravina is saying that in that case, they can still say that they can't get away with claiming that they're only coming to make it pay chatzi nezek, because how can you make them pay out of chatzi nezek when they don't know which ox it is? That was the point Rashi was saying. So therefore, it must be that they're all coming in order to make the animal a mu'ad. And therefore, when it turns out all three groups are Edim Zemmin, then we can all make them pay for the part of mu'adus, for the extra chatzi nezek that the owner would have had to pay. So Gemara says, Elaheichem Yadu, right? Well, then how are they warning the owner in the first place if they don't recognize the ox? And the answer is Da'amri. They say exactly that. Turn a chon islach b'bakrach. Among your herd of cattle, you have one which is prone to gore. So from now on, you have to watch your entire herd. You don't know which animal it is. You have to watch the entire herd and make sure that whichever one that is not going to go and cause damage. It would be a good edus, but it would only work according to Rashi. Again, is explaining that it would only work according to the way of the Yehudi Torah. It still wouldn't work. For the Ode Gavra, if we say that the point is the owner himself needs to be warned multiple times, because after all, they could say that they're only coming to be mechayev. If it turns out they're Edim Zemmin, we could say they're only chayev for the part that they're saying, because we testified about a particular negicha and we didn't know that there were other Edim involved. Again, Ravina's answer doesn't require that they're hinting to each other or all coming to Beis Din together or whatever. And again, according to Tosfos and various other Rishonim, then the Gemara's answer could work with Yehudi Gavra as well, none of them recognize it, but then none of them recognize it, meaning they didn't even recognize it in the first place. It gored, and then right away it blended in with other ones, and they couldn't found it. But then they recognize that, you know what, this is the one all along. So we don't have a proof yet, one way or the other. So we don't have a proof yet, one way or the other about. So that's it. So we're left without a proof, one way or the other, whether the Yehudi Torah or the Yehudi Gavra. The result is that Amman Paskins, and from there it's in Shulchan Aruch, that it's a suffix. If you were to have that they warn him that they warn him three times, but all on one day, that his ox is gored. Or are we going to actually? It's not gored in Shulchan Aruch really, because it's not a halacha that's applicable nowadays. But anyway. Because we don't have the whole concept of tam really nowadays. And anyway. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that, so the Rambam leaves it as a suffix because the Gemara has left the question open. So it would be a suffix whether at this point is chayiv nezik shalim or chatzi nezik for the future. And as usual, with suffix, we're going to say that we can't force the guy to pay, but if the other guy, if the nezik grabs, then we can allow him to keep it. Okay. Iboilahu. Now the Chacham had another question. Hamashasa kalba shachavere b'chavere ma'am. What would happen if a person takes somebody else's dog and causes and provokes it to bite somebody else? Mahu, so what would be the din? Now, we touched on this yesterday, but now we're going to talk about it again today. Meshasta vadre potter, for sure the one who provoked the dog is going to be potter, like we learned yesterday, because he's only a groma, and groma benizikin is potter. He'll be chayib dinah shemayim, but he's potter in dinah. Baal kelev mai, what about the owner of the dog himself? Is he going to be chayib? Could he say, the reason why we're bringing this in is because it relates to what we said in our Mishnah about the children playing around with the ox, as we'll talk about in a minute. So, but can the owner of the dog say, what did I do? How can you hold me responsible? Or maybe we tell him, Kiven de yadis b'kalbach, since you know the nature of your dog, the mishasi lay umishasi, that if someone provokes him, it will get provoked, and it will bite. Loi boilach lashuye, then you shouldn't have kept him. In meaning, you shouldn't have allowed the dog to be in rishus, in rishusarabim, or something where it could cause damage. Lashuye can also mean to keep it around altogether. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're required to get rid of the dog altogether. But at least it means, in other words, that you should have been more careful about it. You could argue on the face of it, you could argue that's an oinus, but no, we're saying over here. So the point is actually the Chazon Ish explained. The point of the question is over here that look, I mean, anytime
any dog
is chayev chatzin nezek because like Karen. But the vote is, in other words, that the vote is here, given that the other person didn't do the hezek b'yadayim, he only did it in groma. So therefore, do we consider that maybe the owner of the dog is completely potter, or do we say that, in other words, here the nezek was caused by somebody else's groma, and the other person is not even chayev for the nezek? Can we be mechayev the owner of the dog, or we could say regardless, he had nothing to do with it? Anyway. So that's the question. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Zeira Toshma." Let's try to prove from our Mishnah. We said, "V'tam." How does an animal become tam according to the Yehuda, or according to the Meir, rather? When children are rubbing it between its horns and it doesn't gore, implying hanegeya chayev, implying if the animal still gored, then the owner of the animal would be chayev. Now, why? It was provoked. So the Omer Abaya answers, that's not a proof. Mikatoni noga chayev. After all, the Mishnah doesn't say that point that you're inferring. All it's saying is, if the animal continues to gore after that, then it hasn't gone back to being a tam. You can't actually be mechayev him for that negicha because he was provoked. So there's no proof of that. All the Mishnah is saying is, if it doesn't do anything, then it goes back to being a tam. If it does do something, it's not a tam, but we're not talking about, the Mishnah is not addressing whether the owner is chayiv for that particular goy. So no. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a proof from, we learned also yesterday, Shlisa b'yis hakelev, a Mishnah says that if one person provoked a dog to bite somebody else, Shlisa b'yis nachash, or he provoked a snake to bite him, potter, so the other guy, so the guy who provoked is potter from Missus Bastin, because again, he's only a gurdim, my lab. Doesn't that mean potter mashasa v'chayev baal kelev? Doesn't it mean that the one who provoked it is potter from miser or tashlumin, as the case may be, but the owner of the dog or the snake is chayev? And the answer is loy. Eimam potter af mashasa. No, you could say it means that both of them are potter. The owner of the dog is more poshut because he had nothing to do with it, but also the mashasa is potter because it's grum. So no proof about that one way or the other. But Omar Rava, but Rava says, "Im timtzaloy mahamashasa kalbe shechaveri b'chaveri chayev." if you're going to say that in the answer that we just said, that the one who provoked the dog would be chayav, and the Gaonim have a rule, which is brought in many Sifri Halacha after them, that whenever the Gemara says Imtim Tzoloimer, it means that the Halacha is like that possibility. So in effect, Rava is saying over here, the Halacha is like that possibility. So yes, if Shimon takes Reuven's dog and provokes it to bite Levi, then yes, Shimon is going to be chayav, because he, and we're not going to consider that he's a grumma. We're going to consider that he's chayev. So if you say that, what we're going to say is no. We're going to say the owner of the dog is chayev. We're going to say again, Shimon is a grumma, like we learned yesterday. The owner of the dog is going to be chayev, because after all, it was his mamon that caused the damage. If we say that, then the halacha is we do say that, but we can also say she sahu hu ba'atz my potter. But if the one who was provoking the dog ended up getting bitten by the dog itself, then the owner of the dog would be potter. So if you have over here, so you have Reuven's dog, Shimon is provoking the dog, and instead of biting Levi, where then we're saying Reuven would be chayav for Levi's injuries, instead it bites Shimon himself. Then Reuven's going to be potter. My time, why is that? Kol ha'mashana. Because when one person does something unusual, and somebody else comes and does something else unusual, so in other words, the first one did something that he had no reshus to do in the first place, and somebody else, which is provoking the dog, and then somebody else went and did something else and caused the hezek, did something else unusual, potter, then that other person is potter, even though he's acting shaloi b'reshus, the same way over here. Once Shimon is provoking the dog, which he shouldn't have done, then therefore Reuven can't be chayev for the damage to Shimon.
For
biting himself. And Omalei the popular Rava. So the Papa points out to Rava, Itma Mishmei the Resh Lakish Kavasach. You should know that was said in the name of Resh Lakish, a din exactly like what you're saying. The Omalei Resh Lakish, Shtei Poris v'Reshus Harabim. We learned this a few days ago. If there were two cows in Reshus Harabim, Achas Revutza v'Achas Mahalachas, one of them was lying down and the other one was walking, or Bata Mahalachas v'Revutza, the one that the one that was walking kicked the one that was lying down, Ptura, then the owner of that cow is Potter. It's not allowed to kick. But on the other hand, the first one was already Mashana, because the first one had no right to be lying down there in Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, Rebutza b'malachas chayevus, but if the one that was lying down kicked the one that was walking, then the owner of that is chayev, because the malachas wasn't doing anything unusual. So therefore, we see from that this concept of kol Mashana over achav shinabai. But Omalei, but Rava says, actually, it's not a valid comparison. Actually, in that case of Resh Lakish, I would hold that the owner of the animal that kicked is going to be chayev. Because we can tell him, the cow that was lying there, in effect, can say, or the person who owns it can say on its behalf, sure, you have the right to walk over me because I'm in Rosh Hashanah. But you have no permission to kick me. That's not part of the normal thing you're doing, and therefore, you're going to be chayev the same as any other cow that kicked. You're going to be chayev chatzi nezek or nezek shalom, as the case may be for Karen.
The cow that was sitting down.
So the cow that was lying down was did something. It's allowed to, not so much that it's allowed to rest, but in other words, that doesn't give the other one permission. It gives it permission to do something normal, to say to walk by, as you can't say you should have walked on the other side of the street, but to go so far as to say that you should be allowed to kick and get away with it, that not. So actually, the Nemukah Yosef points out on the Rif that this idea of Kol Mashana over Achav Shina is where the first one's Shinui caused the second Shinui. Meaning, what we're saying is, in other words, so what Rava is saying, the fact that the cow is lying down over there, that causes the second cow wants to walk by, and the most direct way is to walk over it. So therefore, that's considered vacha b'shinaboy, and therefore it's potter. On the other hand, the kicking is not because the animal was lying there; it's a separate thing. So therefore, then Rava is saying we don't say that rule. That's how the Nimukah Yosef explains the Marshal and Yamshel Shlomo explains differently. What we have to look at, he says, is so therefore, in other words, the Nimukah Yosef would say in this case, in other words, where Shimon is provoking Reuven's dog and the dog ends up biting Shimon himself, then we would say the fact that it bit him is a direct consequence of what Shimon was doing, and therefore we can't be Machayev Reuven. The Yamshel Shlomo, on the other hand, makes a distinction. He says you have to look at, is the second one's Shinui stronger than the first one's? So like this, when it walks over it, that's not considered intention to damage. So therefore, it's no more serious than the original lying down over there. But to kick it, which is miskaven lahazik, that's a more serious kind of shinui. And therefore, Rava is saying that you can't apply the rule of kol mashana over achav shina.
The one that's laying down.
No, we're saying that for sure, if the one that's laying down kicks, for sure he's chayev. No question about it. He has no right to. He has no right to kick the other one. But we don't say, in other words, because you're walking over me, therefore I have a right to kick you because you shouldn't have been there in the first place. What we're saying is, if the animal that's walking kicks the one that that is laying down, according to the Shlokish, it's going to be potter, because kol hamashana uvar chavashina, according to Rava, he will not be potter because you have a right to walk, you don't have a right to kick. And again, according to the Nemuka Yosef, your kicking was not caused by my lying down. It's your own decision. It's you. And according to the Amshul Shlomo, the vote is your kicking is a more serious infraction than my lying down, because to walk and to lie down and to walk are normal things. Kicking is not, and therefore there's a reason to be machayev you for it.
But sit down, behem resting in the Shusharam, is that not normal?
It's the responsibility of the Balabais to make sure that his animal is not lying down. Or Shusharam, it's creating a bird, if nothing else. He has no right to create a bird versus an animal. So then you make take your animal to a side, take your animal out of the flow of traffic. No, now we're saying, in other words, we're talking in Rosh Hashanah. We're not talking, we didn't go to the city of Rosh Hashanah, didn't go to a simta or something. If his animal is tired, take it off to the side. You know, it's like saying I'm afraid of overheating my engine, and therefore I'm gonna stop my car in the middle of the road. You don't do that. You pull over to the side, and then yeah. Hey, screw everyone.